He did not wait for a reply, but marched forward with parade grand smartness. He came to boot-crashing attention in front of the senior generals, who were still brushing plaster dust from their uniforms, and saluted with the precision of a semaphore. "I beg to report, sir, that we now hold the main gate, sir. Took the liberty of putting together a force of the ins and outs, the side-to-sides, and the backwards and forwards, sir, just in case. Saw a big cloud of flame and smoke over the place, and arrived at the gates just as your lads did. Got them coming and going, sir." There was a general cheer, and General Kazuppi leaned toward Frock. "In view of this pleasing development, sir, perhaps we should hurry up and close this..." Frock waved him into silence. "Jackram, you old rogue," he said, leaning back in his chair. "I heard you were dead. How the devil are you?" "Fighting fit, sir," barked Jackram. "Not dead at all, despite the hopes of many." "Glad to hear it, man, but while your rosy face is a welcome sight at any time, we are here to..." 14 miles I carried you, sir," Jackram roared, sweat pouring down his face. "Pulled that arrow out of your leg, sir. Sliced that devil of a captain who pushed an axe in your face, sir, and I'm glad to see the scars looking well. Killed that poor sentry lad just to steal his water bottle for you, sir. Looked into his dying face, sir, for you. Never asked for nothing in return, sir. Right, sir?" Frock rubbed his chin and smiled. "Well, I seem to remember there was that little matter of fudging some details, changing a few dates," he murmured. "Don't give me that bleeding slop, sir, with respect. That wasn't for me, that was for the army. For the Duchess, sir. And, yeah, I see a few other gentlemen around this table who had reason to do the same little service for me. For the Duchess, sir. And if you was to leave me one sword, I'd stand and fight any man in your army, sir, be he never so young and full of mustard." In one movement he pulled a cutlass from his belt and brought it down on the paperwork between Frock's hands. It bit through into the wood of the table and stayed there. Frock didn't flinch. Instead he looked up and said calmly, "Hero though you may be, Sergeant, I fear that you have gone too far." "Have I gone a full 14 miles yet, sir?" said Jackram. For a moment there was no sound but that of the cutlass vibrating to a halt. Frock breathed out. "Very well," he said. "What is your request, Sergeant?" "I notes you have my little lads before you, sir. I'm hearing that they are in a spot of bother, sir." "The girls, Jackram, are to be restrained in a place of safety. This is no place for them, and that is my order, Sergeant." "I said to them when they signed up, sir, I said, if anyone drags you away, they'll have to drag me away too, sir." Frock nodded. "Very loyal of you, Sergeant, and very much in your character. Nevertheless..." "And I have information vital to these here deliberations, sir. There is something I must tell you, sir." "Really? Then by all means tell us, man," said Frock. "You don't have to take all..." "It requires that some of you gentlemen quit this room, sir," said Jackram desperately. He was still at attention, still holding the salute. "Now you do ask too much, Jackram," said Frock. "These are loyal officers of Her Grace." "No doubt of it, sir. Upon my oath, I am not a gossiping man, sir, but I will speak my piece to those I choose, sir, or speak it to the world. There's ways to do that, sir. Nasty, new-fangled ways. Your choice, sir." At last, Frock coloured. He stood up abruptly. "Are you seriously telling me that you'd..." "This is my famous last stand, sir," said Jackram, saluting again. "Do or die, sir." All eyes turned to the general. He relaxed. "Oh, very well. It can't do any harm to listen to you, Sergeant. God knows you've earned it. But make it quick." "Thank you, sir." "But try this again, and you'll be on the biggest fizzer you can imagine." "No worry there, sir. Never been one for fizzers. I will, by your leave, point to certain men, and I'll include Strappy in this category, because I wouldn't dream of calling a captain a dog's todger, sir." They were about half of the officers. They rose with greater or lesser protest, but rise they did under Frock's sapphire glare, and filed out in the corridor. Strappy was among them, trying to stay inconspicuous.